Good afternoon. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 1:32 p.m. on Friday, April 15, 2022. Present today are Representative Carpenter, Representative LeBon, Representative Edgman, Vice Chair Ortiz. Representative Josephson was here. We have online Representative Rasmussen, and there's Representative Josephson, and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This afternoon, we will take public testimony on House Bill 291, extending the Council on Domestic Violence, House Bill 308, Dementia Awareness, and House Bill 363 on broadband. We will begin with House Bill 291, extending the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault by Representative Tarr. Welcome back, Representative Tarr. The committee last heard this bill on March 29th. This is the second hearing. We received no amendments to my office by Thursday at noon, and so we will go ahead and let Representative Tarr make any opening comments. Okay. Then we will move right to public testimony on House Bill 291. I'm opening public testimony. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on House Bill 291? Seeing no one, is there anyone online? It looks like first we have James Kerr with the Petersburg Police Department. Welcome, Mr. Kerr, if you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you. My name is James Kerr. I'm the Chief of Police for Petersburg Police Department. I'm calling about House Bill 291. This year, Governor Dunleavy has drastically increased spending for public safety. Programs like WAVE, Working Against Violence for Everyone, provide support to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault, which continually prove to play a major role in a lack of public safety. Petersburg Police Department relies heavily on WAVE when investigating domestic violence and sexual assault. WAVE provides a vital part of the support and recovery process to victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. WAVE supports these victims and lets them know they are not alone in the recovery process, providing these victims the knowledge, understanding, and support and strength to take control of their life are what programs like WAVE provide all across the state. House Bill 291 also provides a standard of training to law enforcement agencies investigating domestic violence and sexual assault by creating and providing domestic violence sexual assault training programs. Without this type of cooperation, law enforcement agencies across the state would have a difficult time keeping up to date on investigation standards and protocols. The programs funded by House Bill 291 are working on the front lines for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. When you hear or read in the media about victims of domestic violence or sexual assault, I bet you think or wish you could have done something to prevent it or stopped it earlier. This is your time to do something about it and use your power to extend the termination date of the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kerr. We appreciate you calling in today. Next in Juneau, Sarah Lynn Tabaknik with the Deputy Director of AWARE. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony. Welcome to House Finance.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Sarah Lynn Tabaknik, Deputy Director of AWARE here in Juneau. Funding and services that CDBSA provides are critical, not just for agencies, but also for survivors all around the state, and as we just heard, law enforcement as well. The knowledge and the understanding and the care of domestic violence and sexual assault as an issue, which is a tremendous resource for a funder and for a funding agency to receive, that they're able to provide a level of valuable technical assistance that an average funder may not be able to provide, and generally isn't without that level of understanding. Personally, at AWARE, earlier this fiscal year, we experienced a severe landslide that impacted our parking lot, our driveway, and the entry to our emergency shelter. And CDBSA was right there checking in with us, seeing what we needed, and providing some emergency funding for mitigation and design for a long-term fix for this problem. CDBSA also, in addition to working with survivors, works with prevention, right? Domestic and sexual violence are 100% preventable. And so trying to work to bring that to the forefront working with men who abuse power and control in relationships and looking at how to help those programs be more meaningful and more. And also providing information, resources, surveying the state about the violence against women. The training and the services and resources are broad. The approach is thorough, and it's really essential. So I say all this just as a means to highlight the importance of extending the council for another 6 years to allow CDVSA to continue their fine work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in and for the important work that you do. I would like the record to reflect at 1:35 p.m. we were joined by Representative Wohl. And it looks like in the room is Lori Morton available? Just for questions. Okay, super. Is there anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify on House Bill 291? Seeing none, I will close public testimony on House Bill 291. Is there further discussion or any closing comments from the sponsor? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
I do. Brief at ease, please.
Finance on the record, Mr. Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 291, version 32-LS1425/W from committee with individual recommendations and fiscal note forthcoming, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 291 is moved from committee. Thank you very much, Representative Tarr, and we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:41 p.m. Next, we will take up House Bill 308, Dementia Awareness, by Representative Stutes. We last heard this bill on March 15th, and amendments were due to my office on March 23rd. We received no amendments on this bill. So with that, I'm going to open public testimony on House Bill 308, Dementia Awareness. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on House Bill 308? Seeing none, is there anyone online wishing to testify? Seeing no one, I will close public testimony on House Bill 308. Next, we will hear the draft fiscal note, which has been updated for the CS. Carol Fink, Health Program Manager with the Division of Public Health, is with us from the Department of Health and Social Services. Ms. Fink, if you could please place yourself on the record and go over the fiscal note. Thank you for being with us.
filing. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Carol Fink. I am with the Section of Chronic Disease Prevention, Health Promotion, State of Alaska. I am available to answer any questions you may have about the fiscal note.
Are there any questions from the committee regarding the fiscal note? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Fink, for being with us.
You're welcome.
Is there any discussion on House Bill 308, Dementia Awareness, before we move from committee? Seeing none, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 308, version 32-LS1397-I from committee with individual recommendations and fiscal note forthcoming, and authorize legislative legal, fiscal note is attached, I'm sorry, and legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
And there will be a forthcoming fiscal note on this. Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 308 is moved from committee. Thank you very much. Brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 1:45 p.m., and I would like to recognize that Representative Johnson joined us at the beginning of the meeting. Finally, this afternoon, we have House Bill 363, Broadband Office Grants Parity, by Representative Edgman. We heard this bill on March 30th, and amendments were due to my office on Thursday at noon. We have one amendment before the committee this afternoon. Representative Edgman, would you like to make any opening comments?
No.
Thank you. And with that, we'll move to public testimony. I'm opening public testimony on House Bill 363. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on House Bill 363? Great, thank you. If you could come forward, state your name and affiliation, and please begin your two-minute testimony. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Chair Merrick. For the record, my name is Christine O'Connor. I am the Executive Director of Alaska Telecom Association, and I'm here just simply to state that ATA supports this bill. Our members are the traditional telecom providers responsible for voice service and also broadband service in this new age we find ourselves in. This bill is important in that it positions the state to take advantage of the significant, and I will say transformational, funding coming to Alaska to build and deploy broadband networks. The bill is well framed to enable the Office of Broadband to hit the ground running so we can take advantage of this opportunity. So with that, I will thank you again for your time and thank the bill sponsors.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? Seeing none, thank you so much for coming in. Next, we will move online in Bethel to Mark Springer. Mr. Springer, if you could state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony. Thank you for calling in.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Co-Chair Merrick and members of the committee. My name is Mark Springer. I am calling from Bethel. I'm a consultant on tribal broadband. One of my clients is the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta Tribal Broadband Consortium, but I'm making these comments in a general way. I appreciate the opportunity to have testified a couple of times on this bill, and we really appreciate Representative Edgman's leadership on this this bill. It really is going to provide a well-lit path to our broadband future. Right now, I'm on the phone. I'm watching this on our cable modem in the office, and you know it's 10 megs, but it keeps buffering. Just kind of waiting for the LEO constellation to get in a better position for us to use our LEO modem, which works like a champ. Let me lighten things up for a second. You know, baby's first sentence used to be mom dollar, and then baby's first sentence was mom pin number. Now baby's first sentence is grandpa more data.
Okay.
Yeah. It isn't cheap. It isn't cheap. You know, a cell phone, and out here, out in Western Alaska, the instrument of choice to get on the internet is a cell phone. 10 gigs for $65 a month. My grandson admits he can run through that in way less than a week. So as far as the bill is concerned, Madam Co-Chair, on page 1, line 11, where it says the office shall make grants to eligible grantees and prioritize grants to grantees with, I would encourage that the term in-state experience be stricken. First of all, those words are not in the IIJA. Deploy, operate, repair, and maintain broadband infrastructure is. And I'm concerned that that terminology could be viewed as being protectionist, and it may not stand up to constitutional challenge. It also can be viewed, at least by tribes who might want to get some of this money through the state, that if there's, you know, it's dictating who you have to work with. There's really no reason for that phraseology to be in there. I know that there will be an amendment that includes the word technology neutral on line 1 of page 3. Purpose of the advisory board is to provide, it adds in technology neutral. I certainly support that. I don't see why anybody wouldn't. And then finally, on the makeup of the board, you know, on kind of further review, there's 8 consumers and there's only 1 provider. And, you know, I don't want to say keep amending, but there might want to be some consideration on figuring out a way to change up one of the members in there to an additional provider and maybe use some language like traditional telco as one and a, emerging provider, broadband provider. We have, you know, a number of companies that are kind of new to the scene, big companies. And, of course, the tribal organizations. But, although we have the Technology Advisory Committee, I kind of think that having more than one provider on the advisory board would be helpful. So I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody has any. Thank you, Madam Co-Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Springer. We appreciate you calling in today. Next, in Akiak, we have Michael Williams with the Yukon-Kuskokwim Tribal Broadband Consortium. Oh, that's a mouthful, consortium. Mr. Williams, welcome to House Finance. If you could please place yourself on the record and begin your two-minute testimony.
Thank you very much. I'm Michael Williams from Akiak, Alaska. I'm currently the chairman of 17 tribes in Western Alaska. We want to allow everyone to have equal access to the funds, especially our tribes. This means no prioritization. Applicants with the in-state experience, as just mentioned by Mark. The tribes can have professionals to build and manage their networks, and we've done that in Akiak, and we're operating that in our community. LEO and GEO hits satellites must be looked at as a solution that covers Alaska. This means Option provides affordable broadband to 100% of Alaska. Middle mile providers should have representative on the advisory board and technical committee. A variety of technologies should be represented. To prevent the new broadband office from favoring one company, the Alaska State Legislature must have final say on all award broadband grant awards. This will ensure fair and unbiased award decisions. Finally, this bill will be much simpler. Could be much simpler. Get rid of the technical capabilities and focus exclusively on creating the broadband office. So I just really thank you for your time, and we look forward for high-speed internet in all of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. We appreciate you taking the time to testify today. In Anchorage, next is Sean Williams, Vice President, Government Affairs and Strategy with Pacific Dataport. Welcome, Mr. Williams. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your two-minute testimony.
Good afternoon, Co-Chair Merrick and committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Sean Williams, and I'm the Vice President of Government Affairs and Strategy at Pacific Dataport. We are the locally owned satellite middle-mile provider located right here in Anchorage, launching two satellites that will cover 100% of Alaska and connect more than 110,000 rural Alaskans with broadband. Our first of two satellites goes up in August, and the second goes up in 2024. We've done this entirely with private funds to the tune of about $50 million and without $1 of subsidy funding. I want to point out that the Alaska Telecom Association, who clearly has played a major role in promoting this legislation, does not represent our company, tribes, tribal consortiums, middle mile providers, or satellite providers. That said, I'll take this time to share our recommendations that I believe would help make this bill stronger for rural Alaska. One, remove the term in-state. I do agree that it's protectionist, and it only serves to limit competition. Tribes, tribal consortiums, these are all people who may want to deploy a network in Alaska. I also concur with Mayor Springer that the term or phrase does not appear anywhere in the IIJA language. Two, add the composition of the broadband office in the bill and give it a mission. The NTIA has already stated that the broadband office must provide a plan that serves every single resident to qualify for any funds. I think that's a good mission. Three, add language that recognizes IIJA funding regulations and ensures this bill will not conflict with IIJA language that's still developing in D.C. And four, add legislative oversight to all awards. A summary could be submitted to the Alaska Legislature on December 31st, then reviewed and approved during the following legislative session. I like the idea of this because it provides a checks and balances method. Finally, I'd like to suggest an entirely separate option. A CS of this bill could be much simpler. You could strictly address the broadband office composition, mission, and function, everything else like technical details, definitions, and even the parity fund could be scratched. Pacific Dataport appreciates that this bill prioritizes the unserved and works to organize Alaska's broadband funding. We encourage the spirit of competition and anything that promotes broadband expansion, efficiency, lower prices, better service, competition, and ultimately a free market. I would like to thank the committee and our bill sponsor for addressing such a major challenge for Alaska. We look forward to helping where we can, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for calling in, Mr. Williams. We appreciate you taking time. Do we have anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify on House Bill 363? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony. And it looks like we have an updated fiscal note. I believe it's control code RPNWK. We have Michaela Fowler with the department. If she would please come forward and review the updated fiscal note. Thank you for being here.
For the record, Michaela Fowler, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development.
And Ms. Fowler, can you just confirm that I read the correct control code?
Yes, to the chair, yes.
RPNWK?
WK, yes.
Perfect, thank you. Please proceed.
The fiscal note has been updated in the personal services line from the prior version. Following the last hearing on this legislation, we realized that the personal service costs were included without being fully loaded costs. It didn't include the benefit and retirement costs of the positions. So no change in the legislation or change in what we would expect to need to implement this legislation was made. It was simply correcting an error.
Great, thank you. Are there questions on the fiscal note? Seeing none, thank you, Ms. Fowler. And with that, we will move to amendments. We have one amendment on this legislation by Representative Lebon. Representative Lebon, is there a motion on amendment number one?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move amendment number one.
Representative Josephson has objected. Yeah. Representative Lebon.
Madam Chair, before I explain amendment number one, I wish to move conceptual amendment number one to amendment one, which would do the following. If you look at the bill on page 2, line 22, it would delete the two words "end rates." And then on page 3, line 12, it would delete the same words, which again are "end rates."
Thank you. I will object for discussion. Representative Lebon.
Yes, Madam Chair, the conceptual amendment 1 to amendment 1 makes clear that the Office of Broadband will not be setting rates of service for the broadband parity adjustment program. Their role will be to set the criteria for their parity adjustment program. And I might add that I worked with the sponsor's office on this bill, and I believe this conceptual amendment would enjoy his support.
Representative Edgman?
Yes, Madam President. I'm in total agreement with what Representative Lamont stated and agree with the change.
Thank you. Further discussion on conceptual amendment number one?
Yes.
Representative Josephson and then Ortiz.
Just to clarify, as to the conceptual amendment, the first two lines, it says after page one, line two, insert, and then it's blank. Am I misreading the amendment? No, I'm reading the conceptual amendment.
Representative Lebon.
Yes, the conceptual amendment found on page 2, line 22, is to delete the two words "end rates." Am I on?
I have the same question. We understand that, but
we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 2:02 p.m. Representative Lebon, do you care to comment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. To just one more time, proposed conceptual amendment number one to amendment number one is to delete the words "end rates" found on page 2, line 22, and the same words "end rates" found on page 3, line 12. That's the conceptual amendment.
Thank you. Is there further discussion? Representative Josephson.
Yes, sir. Question for Representative Edgman. You're also satisfied with the technology neutral. Can you tell me what is meant by that?
Madam Chair, move on this first?
Yes, we're on conceptual amendment number one. I will remove my objection. Is there further objection? Hearing none, conceptual amendment to amendment number one has been adopted. That takes us to amendment number one as amended. Representative LeBond, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You did move this.
Yes, I did make the motion, and I piggybacked onto it, the conceptual amendment, back to the now conceptually amended amendment number one. Madam Chair, amendment number one as amended makes a change on page 4, line 1, amending the line describing the purpose of the Broadband Advisory Board. The line would now read, and in quotes, "The purpose of the advisory board is to provide technology-neutral input, recommendations, and advice." And the words "technology-neutral" are what are being added. As we've heard in committee, technological neutrality means that no particular technology is favored in the goal of providing reliable, high-speed broadband, whether it's terrestrial, non-terrestrial, wireless, or wired. Technological neutrality is foundational to what the State Broadband Office is attempting to achieve. And on page 1, line 13, the bill says that the purpose of the Office of Broadband is to focus on broadband infrastructure projects that meet certain speed, reliability, and other requirements while maintaining technological neutrality within those requirements. Technological neutrality is also a requirement under the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act for the broadband grant programs it creates. And while I still have some concerns about the board structure and ensuring technological neutral recommendations, in consultation with the sponsor's office, this change is what we settled on that would help settle some of those concerns. So with all that word salad now behind me, this amendment just adds the small but important descriptor to the purpose of the advisory board to remind them that their input, recommendations, and advice must be technologically neutral.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the maker of the amendment. While I realize we added the conceptual amendment in the previous process, it's a part now of Amendment 1, so I feel like I can still ask a question about the conceptual amendment. In relationship to the words "and rates," what's your understanding of how they were put in there in the first place, and why were you specifically motivated to remove those words?
Representative Edgman?
Yes, thank you for the question.
Anything further, Representative Ortiz?
Follow-up.
Yes, follow up.
So the intent of that was there was a concern that the advisory board
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, through the chair, the broadband advisory is set up to be, advisory to the broadband office itself. And there's language in the federal bill, the IJA bill, that talks about the consultation sort of with stakeholders aspect. And so we thought it best captured that part of the federal bill.
I would, just as a clarification, I know that in my previous dealings with the issue of broadband and legislated related to broadband, because Alaska is an area where there's often cases, not much competition, I was wondering whether or not there would be a role to play in the agency or in this advisory board to make sure that consumers, particularly in smaller communities throughout the state, are protected. That's basically it.
So, may I
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very highly regulated program. It's not just on the state end, it's also on the federal end. It was $65 billion in broadband made available federal money. Four of those major seven buckets occur in the sort of a subset of the Federal Department of Commerce, National Telecommunications Infrastructure Administration, NTIA as we call it. And NTIA, in fact, on a call with them not too long ago, they actually plan to hire someone to be in Alaska to make sure that the federal program guidelines are being watched and administered as the federal law dictates and that the Broadband Deployment Office is doing what it's supposed to do.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a brief at ease. Finance on the record, and I will just have Representative Edgman repeat what his staff told us.
Yeah, so by omitting the term and or rates, that's only in reference to the office, not the broadband advisory group that's in the bill.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So I just wanted to make the observation, and I have some experience, is that rates can mean a variety of things. I mean, you think about the rate of flow in the pipeline or the rate of purchase for amount of oil. So we don't want to, well, I like the amendment because I think it keeps the board from getting involved in the rate of, trying to differentiate between what the build out might look like as well as the rate of service. So I think perhaps it's good to not have that there just because there's multiple ways you can apply that term.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Anything further on amendment number one as amended? Representative LeBond, wrap up?
No wrap up needed.
Thank you. Representative Josephson, do you maintain your objection? Is there further objection? Hearing none, amendment number one as amended has been adopted. We have no further amendments. Is there further discussion on House Bill 363? Representative Carpenter.
One of the testifiers today, and I believe the individual is from industry, had some recommendations. And maybe one of his recommendations kind of indicated a concern that there'd be a challenge with making sure that every resident gets served with the increase in broadband. I think his recommendation was to make sure that there's a plan in place before an approval goes forward, that every resident is addressed. And I'm not sure how that in reality would actually work. It seems kind of unfeasible. But I think the concept is, his point's well taken. And I am concerned, and I spoke briefly about this at a previous meeting, and I'm going to follow up on that concept. one of our board members is going to be a broadband consumer. That could be broadly interpreted. it is potentially the only seat not representing a special interest or one of the anchoring institutions that are listed as members of the board. And the question in my mind becomes one, and especially with reference to the industry representative's public testimony, is the board being established merely pro forma, or is it intended to support and perhaps at times push back on a policy decision that might not equitably distribute the resources within the state? So as I look at the board makeup, 5 of the 11 board members are likely to live in urban areas. 6 of the 11 members are, it's unclear to me whether they would be in an urban area or potentially in a underserved or unserved area. 8 of the 11 members could be considered anchoring institutions, and the anchoring institution is one of the priority entities, if you will, if you consider an unserved area as an entity, an underserved area as an entity, and an anchoring institution is listed in the prioritization in the bill on page 2, lines 8 through 10. So in one respect, you could look at those three and saying that they are competing with each other in a priority. As the Office of Broadband, not the board, but the Office of Broadband prioritizes broadband service expansion. And it's saying in the following order of priority: unserved, underserved, and anchoring institutions. So if there's 8 consumers on the board and 1 provider, and 6 of those 8 consumers are anchoring institutions, an anchoring institution that also happens to exist within an unserved or underserved area seems to have an upper leg on where the money is getting spent, because they have more than majority representation on the recommendation board. So that it brings to question as to whether the results, the recommendations coming from the board, are coming from individuals who actually live within unserved or underserved areas. So I would make a conceptual amendment in regards to just thinking this through, that on page 4, line 16, the makeup of the 9 additional members be at least 6 of whom live in unserved or underserved areas. This would change the makeup of the board to reflect the priorities of the broadband office, that the recommendations coming from the individuals on the board are actually coming from people who live in, the majority of the board members live in, unserved or underserved areas. As the language of the bill currently stands, only 2 members who live in an unserved or underserved area are required to be on the board. Therefore, 8 of the 11, or 9 of the 11, sorry, doing quick math there, could be outside an unserved or underserved area and provide recommendations to the board. But if the priority of the board is how to distribute money between unserved, underserved, and anchoring institutions, the anchoring institutions have the majority of the votes on that recommendation board for money to be, where the money would be spent in the unserved and underserved areas. So I'm concerned that we're creating a board that would likely be a pro forma board to what industry and anchoring institutions wants, as opposed to the average Alaskan resident. So that is my motion.
I'll object for discussion. Representative Edgman.
I think I'd start with a procedural question. I thought we were through the amendment process.
We'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 2:21 p.m. We have conceptual amendment number 2 by Representative Carpenter has been moved, and I will let Representative Edgman respond.
Chart would be the characterization of unserved, which is written again very prescriptively into the federal bill, which I have here in front of me, and then underserved and then anchor institutions. So that, in my view, rises above the composition of an advisory board, which is to provide input and recommendations to the deployment office, which would be in Alaska Department of Commerce, which works hand in hand with federal agencies to make sure that this very prescriptive federal bill is followed. Otherwise, issues, the concerns. And so, I mean, I appreciate the spirit of the conceptual amendment and where Representative Carpenter is coming from. I just don't think it's sort of additive to the bill.
Thank you. Representative Johnson.
So I wanted to just speak in favor of the current board as the way that it is, because when I look at it, I see the makeup of the board seems like it makes sense to me. If you look at the, I actually did have some questions about this. I spoke to the sponsor about, or I spoke to some other people about. But I, like with the tribal government, there is going to be so much money coming to the tribes for, also for broadband, to make sure that there's not overlap between the two. It's important, I think, to have someone from tribal government involved, as well as Alaska Native Corporation, which they have huge resources around the world that involved build out and for broadband, I mean, potentially. So, but then you add on all these others, all of them could be underserved areas and on and on, but this is very prescriptive in the as written already and as in the federal. From the federal perspective, as well as the FCC oversees so much in this industry. So I'm comfortable with the way the board is now.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Further discussion on conceptual amendment number 2? Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for my own understanding and clarification. For Representative Edgman, for the sponsor of the bill, excuse me. So I understand your answer to be that
Representative Edgman.
Yeah, through the co-chair, you know, so the three categories are unserved, underserved, and anchor institutions. I think we should keep in mind that unserved is going to be arguably the primary focus, getting internet out to places where there is no internet or where there's just really slow, unreliable service. You know, we can't lose sight of the fact that there's also a lot of areas in urban Alaska that are underserved, you know, that have, you know, maybe barely adequate service at this point. And I'm just a little leery about, you know, sort of making the composition of a board that's advisory in nature, you know, too prescriptive for the purpose it may need to serve in the future. Because, again, this is, we're looking at a 5 to 10 year timeline. Things are going to change as we get this federal money deployed and get actual upgrades and service in place around the state. You may want a board that's maybe a little bit more diverse in the future than what we know today. So for those reasons, I think keeping it a little bit more open-ended better serves the purpose than making it very prescriptive at this point. And, you know, and that's not to say that maybe in the future the legislature won't take another look at this and maybe make it more prescriptive and follow suit with what Representative Carpenter is proposing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further on conceptual amendment number two? Representative Josephson.
Just a comment, Madam Chair. I think that Representative Carpenter's interest here is meant to be supportive, and I think I take the point that he's making. But I'm inclined to defer to the sponsor, particularly because of federal requirements that I don't have a grasp of. But I appreciate what Representative Carpenter is trying to do, which is to make sure that rural Alaska is well represented. But I'm confident that it will be.
Thank you. Further comments? Representative Carpenter and wrap-up.
Thank you for the discussion, Madam Co-Chair. There is a reason that the verbiage is written in this bill on page 4, line 16, 9 additional members. Make up the board. 9 additional members, comma, at least 2 of whom live in an unserved or underserved area, appointed by the governor to 3-year terms representing, and then a list A through I. Somebody thought it was important enough to say that at least 2 members of the 11-member board come from an unserved or underserved area. And I'm making an argument that if we're actually interested in making sure that there's an equitable distribution, you don't put a very small minority of the folks who are coming from the very areas where you're supposed to be prioritizing spending from. You put a majority of the members on the board who come from the very areas where you're supposed to be prioritizing spending. Otherwise, you have a risk that the members of the board, because it says at least, will only have a minimum of 2. And the rest of the board is made up by people who are in non-unserved or underserved areas. So that's the board that we want to create, is a board that is in, all but 2 members come from unserved and underserved areas, or the opposite of that, all but, yeah, the majority of the board, except for 2 members, comes from areas that don't qualify for the priorities.
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. I will maintain my objection. So with that, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on conceptual amendment number 2? Brief at ease. Finance on the record at 2:31 p.m. Madam Clerk.
Representative Laban. No. Representative Ortiz.
No.
Representative Rasmussen.
No.
Representative Wohl?
No.
Representative Carpenter?
Yes.
Representative Edgman?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative Josephson? Representative Merrick?
No.
One yay, eight nays.
And with a vote of one yay and eight nays, conceptual amendment number two has failed to be adopted. And that will take us to our final discussion on House Bill 363. Any final comments? Seeing no comments, Mr. Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 363, version 32-LS1527-G from committee as amended with individual recommendations accompanying fiscal note and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 363 is moved from committee. Brief at ease. Finance on the record at 2:33 p.m. This concludes our agenda for this afternoon. Our next meeting will be Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. We will continue hearing House Bill 414 on the federal infrastructure funds. So with that, at 2:33 p.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.